when we last spoke, you were just premiering Annapolis, and now you've moved on to the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. So how did you first become involved with that?
In fact, there's a connection between Annapolis and Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift because Justin Lin directed both.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was still doing, we were working on Annapolis, and as it turns out, he was scouting all these locations in Tokyo, and I thought, well, that sounds kind of interesting. And he says, you know, Brian, I'm doing this movie. Maybe you'd be interested in it. It's, you know, it's about car racing. It's about this new thing, drift racing, you know, and Fast and Furious movie. Well, the thing he didn't know that I was already into drift racing. I do these races, these sanctioned races, and it's kind of my thing. So, you know, it was one of those weird moments where my life outside of scoring merged with my scoring life, I think that's probably once in a lifetime. So it was really cool to be able to go in there and kind of score what I like to do in my free time.
Mm-hmm. Now you're not the first BT that has worked with Fast and Furious. Did a lot of people think you were that other BT?
You know, the BT thing came up a lot because of our, you know, the initials and all that. But
mm-hmm.
also, I think that a lot of the confusion started because I had music in the first Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of us did. So when you kind of, what people would see music by, and it's listed on different things on the internet, and it says music by BT, and then right below it, it says Brian Tyler.
Yeah.
And I think people, you know, just assumed that we're the same guy. But we are indeed different people. We have been seen in the same place at the same time. So, yeah, it does come up every once in a while, for sure, still.
Okay. So what is different about this score than others of the series?
Well, you know, there was just a different approach. The first two had kind of a little bit more of a similar approach in that there was score in there, but it was more predominantly songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin, the director of the third one, what he wanted to do was kind of flip it around and have themes drive the movie and have score drive the movie and have songs and really, you know, when they play it, have them be really important, but have less, and he felt that would actually make it more memorable and a little bit more catchy, especially for this story. You know, it's kind of different than the other two story-wise as well. So, and the whole approach of it was to try to create it in a more cinematic, you know, almost a traditional cinematic way, which is kind of giving characters themes and,
mm-hmm.
you know, having, you know, a lot of the big even montage training scenes. Instead of going for a song, I would do a track, you know, and it ended up being there was so much score that this is the first time that there is a score soundtrack released for a Fast and Furious movie. So it was a lot more work than I expected when I went into it, which was great because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd rather have more music in it than less. But, you know, it's kind of started off like, you know, us talking about, well, is it going to be around 12 minutes of score? Is it going to be 15 minutes? And it ended up being, you know, I recorded, you know, closer to 70 minutes of score. So it was a wholly different approach.
Mm-hmm. So now your involvement with drift racing, was that part of the inspiration of the score?
Well, yeah, you know, for sure. In fact, you know, Justin was new to drift racing or racing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting because it was one of those times where it was reversed a little bit. I would be telling him about, you know, I'd send him underground videos, and I have in camera videos of me racing. I would send him different things. I sent him a in camera video of a race that I was in where we crashed.
Oh.
just, you know, kind of the perils and the crazy stuff that goes on when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really familiar, you know, with everything, and he really got the right team around him. He had Toshi Hayama as the kind of a creative consultant, who's like the guy in the world
mm-hmm.
for you know, if you want to get someone to that knows about drift racing, and he's like the man. So it was cool. On this, he was able to bring all that in, and for me, doing the music, you know, I'm really into just this scene. So in my head, I've always had little bits of music that I've been thinking of that go along with when I'm racing or I'm doing those types of things. And so it was great to be able to actually put them into a movie, because
mm-hmm.
You know, I've never done a movie that's anything like this.
Right. Okay. So how did Slash come to work on the score?
I was recording a lot of guitars on the score. I was playing a lot of guitars. There's actually some people know my other scores. There's kind of a couple throwbacks to more like Six String Samurai, Bubba Hotep mm-hmm. type of feel in a few places. And
yes.
there's this whole storyline between these two rivals in Japan. And one of them is this kind of more American, you know, he's an American guy. He's kind of this gunslinger type guy. And then mm-hmm. you have this real tough dude from Japan who's great as well. So we thought, you know, let's make this more, you know, like, you know, a bit of a duel, bit of a standoff, like an old Western. So instead of going, you know, all kind of what you would think in the past year to go techno, we went the other way on a lot of the scenes and kind of more bluesy guitar type of feel. And so we thought, yeah, we need someone to face off against me, kind of a guitar duel type of vibe, where I'm playing one guitar and we need someone else playing another guitar. Who's the ultimate guy that would be perfect for that? And in fact, I thought back to Six String Samurai, where there was a guitar duel in that movie, and one of the characters was kind of fashioned after Slash. And I
right.
thought, how cool would it be to actually get Slash? You know, made some calls, and I got to, you know, we kind of met to see if it would be, you know, something that worked out. We really hit it off. You know, we became fast friends, and we've, you know, sure enough, we have these tracks, especially Mustang Nismo, where, you know, I'm on the left and he's on the right. I do all the solos with the slide guitar. He does all the solos with the talk box guitar. You know, we're going back and forth. So I actually got to have a guitar duel with Slash. It was amazing.
Cool. Now, did he contribute anything other than his guitar ability to the score?
Yeah, you know, he did. There was a track that we wrote together. It was called Welcome to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a break from just basically soloing or doing riffs. It was actual writing. So that was a cool thing, and I really liked the way they put that in the movie too. They pulled out all the sound except just that track when it's playing in the movie,
mm-hmm.
Which happens a few times in the movie. It's something Justin does. He'll pull out all the sound except the music. So yeah, it's great. I'll work with Slash again for sure.
Okay. So what was your favorite part of scoring Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift?
Oh, you know, I'd say probably always my favorite part of scoring a film is always the same, in that it's when I get up there to conduct the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a thrill. Like, the musicians give so much back to you. You know, you get up there and the baton moves, and all of a sudden, boom, the music's going. It's just amazing. Always blows you away. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, also on this, you know, I suppose that's my favorite moment always. But you know, with this team, Justin Lin and Fred Raskin, the editor, the whole team, it's really, I feel that these are my compadres. You know, these are my good my good friends. It was a lot of the team that was on Annapolis, but it's just it's a group of people I believe in, and we've all become, you know, great friends. And you know, anytime you get to work on a movie like that, where it's something that you're actually interested in the subject matter, you get to create something, you know, new and fresh, or something that excites you in a music, in a creative way, and you get to work with your friends, it's really hard to top. So for me, I just mark this down as a highlight experience for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, obviously, when you record the score, that there's a lot more music than what's on the soundtrack release.
Yeah.
So when getting a score ready for a soundtrack release, what factors influence what goes on the score and what doesn't?
Well, there's a number of things. Sometimes you have a time limit, be it by just the length of the CD or a union kind of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
I've run into the time limit a number of times, like on Children of Dune, for instance. The score is just so much longer than we could fit on a CD, and the only way to do it would have been to put out a triple CD soundtrack, which which I would have been fine with. But but over the last few scores, I've tried really hard to get the complete scores on there. And Fast and Furious is about as close as you can get. It really one of the cues I scored a scene two different ways, and we just couldn't decide which one. It ended up being one way, but we were pulled. All of us were pulled. The director, all of us, and so we ended up putting both on there. You know, and so I would say in terms of being complete, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift is pretty much it. I think there's probably only two cues that are 20 seconds or something like that are missing off the CD.
Right. Now, a lot of your scores are released on Very Saraband.
Yeah.
What's the appeal of Varese?
Well, you know, I've been a score fan for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they came along and started really, you know, Bob Townsend, he was like 9 years old when he started or something. It's ridiculous. You know, he's still so young, and it was years and years ago.
Right.
I believe 22 years. It's something very long ago. Perez became so much of a champion of scores to me, just philosophically, that the fact that they would get these things out there that no one else would.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for them, I think film scoring would be in a much different state, a much worse state.
Oh, I agree.
And so to me, it was great when I finally, you know, I'd done a few scores had been released, but finally when I hooked up with them, I thought, wow, this is really great. I'm getting to put out some CDs on a label that, you know, I always bought everything, all of their titles. And so from, you know, any chance I get, I, you know, it's great to be able to put it out on with them. But, you know, there's a lot of other labels I really like, and I most of the people that I've run into are great at, you know, in the offices at these soundtrack places. They really believe in what they do. La La Land, for instance, you know, they really, you know, they're behind it, and they're in it for the right reasons. And
right.
Fast and Furious ended up being the 800th release of Varese Saraband. So, and my 10th with them, as a matter of fact.
Cool. Well, you mentioned La La Land. Now, recently, The Big Empty came out on CD. Why did it take so long?
Sure. Yeah, you know, Big Empty, I don't know. I remember we mastered that CD quite a long time ago, and it was ready to go. And I think there was just some legal wrangling that La La Land had to deal with. We've seen it before, where it just is kind of frustrating, and waiting to release it, and now it was so long after it. But it almost ended up being a retrospective by the time it came out. You know, a la the release that we did for TerraTract, which was indeed a complete back catalog type of retrospective look at one of my early scores. Yeah, it was kind of strange to see it just be held up like that, and it's too bad, but I'm glad it finally got out there. It's definitely one of my quirkier scores. It was a lot of fun to do.
Well, now, could you actually walk us very briefly through the, I'm sure it's not a brief process, but could you walk us through the process of getting a score ready for release?
The pattern that, they're almost... There is some pattern, but there's always differences because of the people involved. On one side, for instance, you have, the studio, and there's powerful people at the studio that have a lot of say as to where things will go and what will be released and when, or even if your score will be released. I've run into that where, for one reason or another, they won't allow a score to be released, which I don't understand at all.
Yeah, neither do I.
Because it's really the studio, you know, I does not bear any of the responsibility. But yeah, I've run into that where scores have been asked for, and you know, there's some noticeable ones missing from my catalog that hopefully we will get out there. For one reason or another, what weren't allowed to be released, even though record companies were asking to do it.
Right.
But pretty much, you know, something like on Fast and Furious, for instance, is a kind of an example. I talked with Kathy Nelson at Universal, and we brainstormed about how we should get it released, and who should do it, and I'll suggest the people that I know, the people that I've worked with before, and that includes Perez. And so as it goes, they say, well, okay, here's the budget. Sometimes there's reuse or different costs involved because of the orchestra, because almost always I have an orchestra in my scores.
Right.
And, we all get to talking, and then really pretty much the ball falls into my court in a sense after the approval is given to the, which label it will be, and then I end up talking to them, and we kind of brainstorm the ideas. We say, okay, well, what are we going to put on? Let's get as much on as we can. And then it needs to be approved by the studio, which sometimes they do make changes. We'll either reorder some things or perhaps if there's a track title, one of my cues is named something that's deemed inappropriate, it'll be changed. But pretty much I found over the last couple years I've been given a lot more latitude to put out what I wanted and more full-length soundtracks.
Right.